The Weekly Dish podcast is presented by Common Ground Minnesota. Food and farming conversations from Minnesota women in agriculture. Learn more at commongroundminnesota.com or follow them on Instagram at Common Ground MINN.
Hey, everybody, it's Steph March for Common Ground Minnesota, and I love talking about women in agriculture. The women of Common Ground Minnesota are volunteers who are taking their time to chat with you about what it's like to live on a farm and grow food in Minnesota. Here's some really great news about this group. They have just launched a newsletter that you can basically sign up for at commongroundminnesota.com, and you get the latest events, giveaways, delicious recipes, all sorts of great stories from the farm. And I got to tell you, it's just a really cool thing to get into your inbox every month. And it's kind of a way in. If you're wondering, like, I don't know what I'm going to ask when I go to Common Ground, Minnesota. Well, this is just an introduction and a way to get you guys to meet the farmers at Common Ground, Minnesota. The Common Ground Minnesota volunteers, remember, their goal is to be a resource for your food and farming questions. Don't forget, check them out on Instagram at Common Ground, M-I-N-N, commongroundminnesota.com.
Nom, nom, nom on with the Mike Talk chicks, and we will eat on the weekly dish.
Weekly Dish here on My Talk 107.1. I'm Stephanie March, and I'm here today, you guys, with Miss Molly Herman.
Good morning.
Welcome. How are you?
I'm good. It's so good to see you.
It's so good to see you. Hanson is, of course, van lifing all over the country. I don't even know.
She's in my neck of the woods. She's in Florida.
Oh, is she in Florida now already? I haven't kept up. I've been
according to the Instas.
Right. That's all. The only way we know anything is through the Instas. She's not like doing the same thing she does when she's on the boat, is she? Where she like puts the car, like the phone out the window and is just like, look, as she's going. And then we just get water and you're like, this isn't fun.
Maybe I flipped through a little too fast, so I'm not sure.
I just
know where she's at.
I know that she's been having, I have seen a couple good drinks and that like made me a little jealous looking like having a vacation drink and the cuteness of her little niece, I think, or nephew, the little baby.
Yes.
So cute.
That was adorable.
Very sweet. Anyway, so she will not be back next week, actually. We have Elizabeth Reese on next week, and then she'll be back the week after that. And then we have a new surprise for you when we come back, we're excited about.
Ooh.
So I'm going to tease it out like that.
Okay.
Teasy, teasy. Happy first day of spring.
Unbelievable. And
we've
got the weather to match the day of spring.
I feel like that we have deserved this today. I feel like it's ready for us, and we're ready for it.
And yesterday was gorgeous, too.
Yeah, yeah. I know my first day of spring, the way that I heralded in and the way that it sort of happened was I went to the Minnetonka Drive-In. And that is like, the drive-in is open, and my wee summer friends and I were all like, high-fiving, basically. Sure. It was packed. But it was great, and it was like that thing of like, we pull up, and we were doing the drive-through, but you still have to wait because I'm getting the chicken, the fried chicken that they
right.
do there.
I was about to ask, what'd you get?
Yeah, and so I'm sitting, and we got a chili dog, too, by the way. And so...
On the side.
Fried chicken and chili dogs. I mean, that's just a normal spring dinner and root beer. But like, we're sitting there and it was like, so we have to wait in the drive through. You know, there are certain lanes that whatever. And it's just like watching, like everybody's in their cars, but they're open and they're sitting in their back tailgates, and they're kind of like milling about, but not too close still. But they're just like, they're at their picnic tables in the grass. There was this little girl in boots and a pink skirt and a little jean jacket. Girl, she did not stop running. She was like, I was watching her and Jake's like, she hasn't stopped. I'm like, I know. All she is moving.
She's been in the same four walls.
Boom,
for
boom, boom. Yeah. And I was like, that girl, that mom is sitting, and the mom had like a little black lab on the tether and was just like, I was like, she's so excited. That kid is going to sleep hard.
Right?
Hard. Yes. Yeah.
Yesterday we heralded spring with having just a few friends on the patio. Socially distanced, of course.
Lovely.
But we could sit out there without, like, coats on.
And I know.
The sun was glorious.
And yeah.
It was nice.
It was really good. I know. The sun is sort of the gift, is what this is. And I'm happy for that.
Yeah.
And I don't even need it to be, like, I can, cuddle up into my windbreaker. I'm fine with that. That's great.
Well, and we know. We're still going to get one more snow.
Yeah.
We
I
know.
Mean, that's the thing, right? You got to get ready for the WAP.
Although,
there is the pressure in my mind to get out and do yard work right now.
Why?
I don't know. because it's just there, because I'm Minnesotan and I feel
you can
like
see it now.
I'm practical, right? And so I feel like I should be doing this. I should be doing things. I do want to, and there's lots of people going, are like trying to figure out a spring break, if they're going to drive somewhere, if they're going to, you know, like van life at like Shanson or whatever. And I think that just is like, it's kind of a nice opening.
Well, and I think for Minneapolis public schools, at least, the high school kids are getting 2 weeks of spring break.
Are they really?
Because they're supposed to go back to school April 12th. And so then the teachers need another week to prepare.
Oh.
So AJ got an unexpected week.
You get a bonus.
Yeah. So we are going up north to, Cuyuna?
Yeah, the Cuyuna area. Are you going biking?
The boys are going to bike. I'm going to hike. We got a little Airbnb up there, so we're just going for a couple of days.
I think this is a really smart way of doing things.
Yeah.
And I think that it's sort of like, I don't know, kind of nice and different and fun and, you know, just a little break.
And hopefully the weather holds. We'll get the snowstorm right as we go up there.
I know. It's what will happen. What did you eat this week?
Oh, this week I did, I put this on the Insta too. You know, you just sometimes get in a rut with what you're like, even just ordering out.
Oh, yeah.
Right now. And for some reason, like we used to be like big Gorkha Palace folks. Like we would go there all the time. Rashmi, the owner, you know, we used to share a kitchen. I remember her mom coming in and making momos. My God,
yeah.
She was lightning fast.
Oh, right.
And for some reason we just, you know, stopped and we sort of restarted and it was just so good. We're like, where did we ever stop?
Yeah.
What was it that just sort of,
but if you just like rotate, I think that's also, you know, like sometimes I think we, yeah, you fall out of one thing and you get into another and then you sort of, you have to remember to go back.
Yeah, so go to Gorkha Palace, you
Gorkha
guys.
Palace.
It is,
Northeast.
It was delicious.
It's in Northeast. It's by Serdix, right?
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. At like 4th and 1st. And they're doing takeout only.
They're doing takeout only right now. Okay. But those momos, right? And they sell them at the
Farmer's Market.
The Mill City's Farmer's Market.
Yeah.
I love that. That's really great.
And the pakora. Oh. Which is gluten-free, so I can eat it.
So what is pakora?
So it's like a shredded vegetable fritter, basically. So it's fried.
Yeah, it's fried.
And delicious.
It's definitely fried. By the way, let's talk about your news quickly.
Oh, okay.
So we are so excited to say, of course, Molly has been, you know, our spokesperson for Kitchen in the Market forever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the site where we've had our book swaps and all the things, and that, you know, that went away almost feels like 100 years ago now.
I think, 2019 was our last cookbook swap.
Yeah.
There.
Right.
And fortuitously now, you know, I closed Kitchen at the end of 2019.
Yeah.
Was supposed to just go on a little sabbatical before I started the next.
You know what? The world put you on sabbatical. They decided that you were going to have a sabbatical along with everybody else.
Right?
Yeah. So, but the good news is that you have a new calling. You have a new job.
I do.
Tell us a little bit about it.
I'm going to be the community outreach and events manager for the upcoming Malcolm Yards Market.
Yay. Malcolm Yards, which is, of course, just a stone's throw from the station. It's basically across from Surly.
Yeah, and they're hoping for a mid-May opening, so we're going to be getting started on all the programming and all that kind of stuff. And if you guys have any ideas of what you would like to see there at the food hall, reach out to me on Facebook, Messenger, or Instagram. I'm Molly McDonald Herman on Facebook and Molly L. Herman on Instagram. And I'd love to hear what the neighborhood wants.
So what we're looking at is it's a food hall with like 10 different kiosks or like counter spaces.
Nine, yep.
It's not unlike the Midtown Global Market where you were before.
No, just more curated, smaller footprint, smaller offerings, and there's no retail. It's all food and beverage.
And there's bars.
There's bars. And I know that these folks worked really hard on legislation to get you a place where you can walk around with said bar offerings.
Right. You don't have to like sit in a little tiny area.
Yeah.
Meaning you can have your drink, you can go outside, you can go and grab another meatball, you can go get a salad.
Yes.
And,
and there's going to be two patios on the north and south side of the building. There's also going to be two event spaces. So, you know, one that's going to be a little bit smaller, one a little larger, so it can accommodate a lot of different types of activities.
And that's what you're wondering, like what kind of events to have? What kind of...
And I mean, meetings... Weddings. We already have a wedding inquiry. You know, I think you can do anything in that space. It's a really unique, vibrant space. I can't wait for it to be open for everybody to take a peek.
So as far as restrictions go right now, so it's trying to open by mid-May.
Mm-hmm.
And then are we still on the 250 as far as restrictions go? Is 250 people or is that increase? I think it increases at the end of the month. the numbers.
I'm going to have to look that up because it changes so much.
Yeah, I know. They have small venues and they have big venues. Yes. And I know like April 1st, we're talking, that's why the Twins can do what they're going to do because they have changed the rules for the big venues.
And I think it depends on outdoor seating and indoor seating and all of that. So those are things we're working through right now.
Okay. I mean, and it's all fluid and it's all changing. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, you know, hopefully case counts can keep going down and, you know, all the percentages and all the things.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we have a great show today, you guys. We're going to talk a little bit about some more restaurant news and stuff happening around town. We have a really fun bartender. I thought that was fun. We're going to talk about that. The bartender and what your drink says about you.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we are going to talk some Easter takeout meals at the end so that we make sure that you guys are all set and ready or at least prepped. I do want to give a shout out to the Marshall Johnson family who is taking Giant Baby on a little spring break trip.
And oh, nice.
They are on their way right now. So maybe if they're tuning in, I just want to say thank you for taking him off my hands. All right, you guys, we'll be right back. This is the Weekly Dish on MyTalk 107.1 brought to you by Hornitos.
I hate it when people talk about working with the real estate agent you can trust. Of course you should work with someone you can trust. The issue is, how do you find those people? And you find them by talking to friends and coworkers and hearing about their experiences. I decided to work with Carrie and Sue from Lakes Area Realty because I knew Carrie Augst is a super hard worker and a straight shooter. I knew Sue Durfee as a super agent with tons of experience in the market, and I liked that they had a large network of people to call on when we needed to get our house staged and cleaned and painted. They had people that could help us get all of these things accomplished, and we were all on the same page about what needed to get done to maximize what I could make on my home sale. I used Carrie and Sue Stager, and she took videos of every room in my house with helpful suggestions of ways to prepare my home for a sale. Many buyers and sellers are getting multiple offers, and Carrie and Sue have experience in getting the deal done without necessarily just being the highest offer. Call Carrie Augst and Sue Durfee and ask for the Weekly Dish Hot Dish special offer only for Weekly Dish listeners. Connect with them at carrieandsue.com at Lakes Area Realty.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Weekly Dish. Thanks for joining us this Saturday on the first day of spring. I'm here with Molly Herman today.
Morning.
As a co-host fill-in, and we're so excited. So there's a lot of stuff going on. This week was like, I don't know, it felt like, well, first of all, we, you know, acknowledge that we crossed the one-year anniversary.
Yes.
And we crossed the one-year anniversary of the shutdowns of the bars and restaurants in the Twin Cities. And that was weird. It was really, there's triggering moments, I think, across the board, you know, from all of us. And I think in hospitality and everything else, you know, and in all sectors that had anything to do with, you know, I mean, we always talk about the restaurants, but it's like, you know, the suppliers and then, you know, everybody. Who works in tangent to restaurants, they all felt that this week. So,
well, and I think, I mean, this spring to me feels different because it's like a reawakening in another sense. Like we have hope, you know, with the vaccine, the vaccine and all that kind of stuff, that we're seeing openings that are happening and everything just feels more hopeful.
It does. And I think, I was talking about it, it's like we are so, as Minnesotans locally, super tied to the weather. You know what I mean? Like, and so
you start every podcast
are up
with it.
Because it's nice and sunny out.
That is so true.
I mean, if this was one of those Marches where we were not going to see ice off the lakes until, you know, like late April, then this would be a different mood. This would be a totally different thing.
Right.
I think. So I know that we are basically agrarian in nature and that is what we do. So
speaking of which, you have a message from Janine Hollig.
Oh, yeah.
It says, don't touch that yard. It's too early. She'll disturb the critters living inside. Hold tight.
I trust me. I'm not doing yard work.
She was just thinking about it.
I know. I'm really just going to sit out there and burn things and look at it. That's what I'm really talking about. Yard work.
That is endorsed. Working in the yard.
Yeah, that's basically it. So we're hopeful and we're thinking about things. And there's a whole bunch of new things that are popping. And I want to talk about a couple of the news items that dropped this week because they're pretty big. Yeah. They're pretty big. Let's start with Tattersall because that seems to have changed everybody's, like, everyone was like record screech moment, you know?
Well, and when I first heard about it, I was like, oh my gosh, they're just pulling up and moving to Wisconsin, but they're not. They're keeping the cocktail room here.
So here's the news that dropped is that Tattersall is opening a new facility in River Falls, Wisconsin, if you didn't hear. And it is going to be a production facility, a much bigger production facility.
Right.
And it is going to be a restaurant, a bar, event space. I mean, it's like going to be a wedding venue and all this stuff. So I think the big thing was, of course, there you're like, wait, River Falls, Wisconsin? And then you're, you know, that was this sort of pain point for everybody. But the truth is, and you know, John Creeler and Dan Askey plainly state, you know, this is, we have been limited by the production laws of the Minnesota beverage laws. Yeah. And so they have reached their capacity in order to be able to also have a cocktail room. So in a weird way, but to be able to give us back the cocktail room in Northeast, they had to go and move their production somewhere else. Think about how weird that is.
It is. And I hope the legislators are listening.
I really do.
This is... It really is a blow for companies that aren't able to grow here, no matter what the industry is.
Right. I mean, well, and this is the thing where I think I feel really bad for wine and liquor and beer and all our local industries that are, you know, have had to go through this sort of evolution of identity. You know, like, of course, we still have this weird prohibition thing where we assign a morality to these products. And really what we're talking about is they're agricultural products. I mean, the stuff that they make is made from Minnesota agricultural product, you know, they take Minnesota grain, they take, you know, all these, you know, botanicals and whatever and grapes and, you know, all of the things, and they make something from it. And then now, you know, they market it, and there's a boom, there's interest in it. And it's not about vice, and it's not about, you know, these old laws that create, you know, sort of hampers to industry.
Well, and I think, I mean, do you remember how long it took and how arduous it was to get the sundae open, right? And then
we take that for granted now. I am a huge sundae booze. In fact, that is the only day I shop for booze now.
Well, and I think, you know, everybody thought that it was going to change so much.
Yeah.
And it didn't. It was just like one more day open.
One more day open.
So, you know, with the pandemic, we've seen them loosening up on the laws for like allowing wine and beer takeout from restaurants, which has been a lifeline for them, right?
Right.
And, you know, I'm not sure where they are in the cocktails to go at this point. But do you think that we're loosening up enough, like this sort of crucible of like, OK, if this industry is going to survive, we've got to do these things.
Well, I think that there is finally the time where there is a coalition. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we've had the Minnesota Craft Beverage Council on, and or we tried to. And we had some snafus that day. But we have talked about them, and we support them when we can, because this is finally a coalition of restaurants and cideries and bars and wineries and breweries and distillers and all of the people who make craft, you know, beverages, saying, look, we just need to modernize. We are so behind the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. And it's time to really look at this as an industry instead of it as, well, this may hurt so-and-so and this may hurt so-and-so. Let's think forward in bigger ways than just trying to, like, you know, draw these lines and contain.
Right.
So,
well, and the good news about Tattersall is River Falls is just a hop, skip, and a jump from here, right?
It is a hop, skip. And it's kind of a sweet, it's a sweet little area. And quite honestly, you know, as they entered their 30th state, like, this is, Tattersall is a national product.
Yeah.
And that is something to be proud of. I feel like, you know, we should be excited and so if they're in Wisconsin, I'm okay to share with Wisconsin. I'm fine with that. The other news that came across was that O'Shaughnessy Distillery is finally, you know, going to open. And that, of course, is right across
the... I'm very excited
you're gonna be
about
very
that. They'll be neighbors.
Interesting. Yeah. And the big thing with them is, of course, that they are... it's going to be a world-class distillery. And I keep saying that. And someone asked me, friend, like, what do you mean when you say that? I'm like, all I can tell you is we have not seen anything like it here. It is not a micro distillery. This is starting out of the gate as a national brand. And they're doing whiskey, and they're doing whiskey in the Irish style. So they're doing, because it's American whiskey. You can't call it Irish whiskey because it's made in America. But they're using the triple copper pot still distillation, which means it's distilled three times through these giant copper pots. And the thing about copper pots is that they all have a different flavor. You know, they all influence differently.
Sure.
So it's really going to be interesting to see what they do. And of course, the big news is that they scored two very big names.
I was going
to
say, they're bringing in the big guns.
They're bringing in the big guns. They have Brian Nation from Jameson Distiller, you know, who was the head distiller of Jameson, for God's sakes. I know. When that news dropped and my jaw kind of hit, I'm like, why isn't everybody talking about this? Like, I know this means a lot to me, but it should mean a lot to everybody that the head distiller from Jameson moved to Minnesota. That's a thing.
That is a thing.
And then, of course, we have Pip Hansen. Who
we've been waiting for him to come back somewhere.
We certainly have been. And he, of course, launched Marvel Bar and The Bachelor Farmer and then moved to London and started working at the London's hottest bar and, you know, became sort of nationally renowned.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out of retirement to redesign their cocktail list. So I don't know. It's going to be exciting. They also will have like, you know, event space and multiple bars. And I think it's just that whole neighborhood is just going to really pop.
Prospect Park is hopping right now.
It's kind of the it neighborhood. And you just, you know, you're going to be there. You're going to be in the center
and
of
you're going to visit a lot.
I am. I'm totally, I'm in the area. What do you know about that? You know, I happen to be in the area. So that's good.
We'll figure out a karaoke situation somehow. I'm already scheming.
We haven't karaoke in 100 years.
I know. And of course, now I'm thinking, oh, well, should we share a mic? How
do we do that?
Yeah.
You know what? I feel like we are the ones to figure out the tech for that.
We're going to do it.
We can figure out that tech. Hey, there's a little piece of news before we talk about Sandrusan, which I will talk about.
Yes.
Because I'm excited about it. I do want to share that Angel Food Bakery is leaving downtown. I don't know if you heard that.
I did. And I want to talk about this because all of these folks are moving into this little nondescript strip mall.
Texatonka
in St. Louis Park. And, you know,
Have you seen our
friend Kelly and I, like, walk in the park is right across the street from there.
Yeah.
And that's one of our lunch spots.
Oh, it is?
And so knowing that that's where everybody's going, you know, with Axeman and like all that, I'm like, it is just such an interesting collision of worlds.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But it's up and coming.
Yeah.
So Angel Food Bakery is Katie Garrity's over Hell's Kitchen. They're leaving downtown to go to Texatonka so she can also open up Frio Frio, which is her popsicle bar. Yeah. And it's going to be, it'll be sad for downtown to lose them, but at the same time, it'll be nice for her to have a space to spread out a little bit too and to have some neighborhood traffic because, you know, and it is tough right down in downtown right now.
I was going to say, it's kind of dead right now.
It is. And so it's a little bit hard. I mean, the donut scene downtown is not exactly crack-a-lacking. So they are, moving to a neighborhood like that will be a really, I think, a good move for her. And they're still shipping. You can still pick up stuff. You can still get them. I mean, from downtown, if you were picking up downtown, it's only a few minutes, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a straight shot. It just is so funny to think of that little strip mall is where a lot of these folks are headed right now.
I know. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, you guys. We'll come back and we'll continue with the restaurant chatter. We'll be right back. This is The Weekly Dish on My Talk 107.1.
Hello, Weekly Disher. Spring has sprung, and that means the best-tasting wild-caught seafood is available from Sitka Salmon. You may have heard us talk about Sitka Salmon before on the show, and that's because we are huge fans. Sitka Salmon standards for quality are unrivaled in the industry because, you see, Sitka Salmon is a community-supported fishery. The fish they process for you to eat are caught by a collective of small boat fishermen, fisherwomen, and families. Some of these families have been fishing for multiple generations. And knowing the boat your fish comes from is not typical of most fish you buy. When you buy a Sitka salmon share, you're getting the freshest quality fish you can, and you can trace the fish back to its source. With your share, you're part of the Sitka family, and you get monthly fish shipments of salmon, lingcod, crab, tuna, halibut, and you get the freshest fish while it's in season. They even have recipes, but I've been steaming my cod in my Instant Pot. The fish is so delicious, you don't even need to do much to serve it other than cook it and eat it. So Weekly Dishers, here is how you get your $25 discount for the first month of a premium Sitka salmon share. Type SitkaSalmonShares.com/weeklydish and you save $25. So save $25 on your box. Again, type Sitka, S-I-T-K-A, SalmonShares.com/weeklydish and you save $25.
Welcome back to Weekly Dish. I'm Stephanie March. I'm here with Molly Herman, and we are just loving this first day of spring. I'm feeling
happiness all around.
I am happy about, I'm in a good mood. I will tell you, Dishers, if you could throw some, you know, good luck vibes to me today, I am
some
waiting.
Juju.
Yeah, throw me all the good vibes. I'm waiting on a house offer. I did put an offer on a house yesterday, and now I'm waiting. And so it's just really hard because I know that I'm trying to be that girl who's like, yeah, I mean, either way, it'll be great. I'll be fine. I'm just terrified. So I definitely think I'm going to be
living. This real estate market is unreal right now.
I mean, we should do a whole show about it because I can't tell you.
Doesn't MyTalk have a real estate show?
There's
you
probably
just need to go on and talk.
They don't want me on because I'm like all emotion. I'm all like, was my letter good enough? Did I, like, I was like, I should have promised them other things. I should have promised to get them into Demi or something. You know what I mean? Like
and brought some cookies.
Oh, I totally. I'm like, I should promise pie, something, anything. And I just didn't. I don't know. You know, I just put it out there and we'll see. And, you know, my real estate agent's great. And we'll just, it's, you know, luck of the Irish. But, and I'm not Irish, but.
So good luck with that.
Breathe. Breathe. All right.
It's all going to be good.
It's all going to be good. I'm not going to be homeless.
You will not.
I think. I do have my mom's basement if I have to live there.
Needs must.
Can you imagine? She would be so. Actually, we've talked about it. And she's like. We've kind of agreed that there's like a 2-month window on that. Like if I need to,
temporary.
Of course I could. But she's like, you know, my internet's not as good as what you need. That's key. That's like a cue for you can't stay for more than 2
Translate.
And I respect that because I'm the same way.
And we love Oma. Oma might not like us to be there all the time either.
No, we want to hang out, but we don't want to hang out all the time.
Yeah.
That's how I feel that she feels. And that's okay. All right. So we're going to continue with our restaurant chatter because there was so much happening this week. I want to talk about a little place that popped up that was sort of like this weird secret-y thing.
And it was fast.
You know what, though? It's been, the rumor mill has been churning. So, Karanomisa, which is, you know, one of our favorite Japanese places in town, Shige Furukawa is the chef there. He and Danny Del Prado from Colita and Martina have teamed up to reinvent the ground floor of Karanomisa. And what it is they have launched a new restaurant in that space called Sanju-san. And it is an Italian-Japanese mashup. Does that sound weird? Does that freak you
out? There's people that think it sounds really weird. I think it sounds kind of cool.
Are people thinking, like, should I be putting cheese on my sushi?
Right? No, it's not that.
Don't do that.
There's restraint. Danny knows what he's doing.
There is. And this is where we get into this space where, you know, Danny Del Prado is an Argentinian chef, but he's got a lot of Italian influences. And but he's also, you know, if you think about Colita, that was this Mexican, mm-hmm. you know, sort of foray. And I think he's just really sort of, I think he's a very interesting, creative human. And with food, he's really found a canvas that isn't like abstract. It's really familiar. And mm-hmm. he doesn't just like pile weird things and say, this is, you know, and then expect you to love it.
Well, and what I appreciate about his restaurants, and Martina is more broad, right, in what they offer. But like Colita and now this new restaurant, is he does a deep dive.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's very focused.
Yes.
Which is nice because there's so many restaurants that just have a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And sometimes you want that more curated experience, right, of, oh, no, this is what we're right here for.
Well, and I think for those of us, if you're not like a Japanophile, maybe you don't know, but like Japan is big on Italian. Yeah. I mean, like there are 20,000 restaurants in Tokyo alone, Italian restaurants in Tokyo alone. The Tokyo pizza situation is sort of nuts right now. Like, you know, here's what happens, and I've talked about this before, but Japan takes a thing that they see is good out there, they bring it home, and they perfect it.
Yeah.
Like, they are the perfectionists. They do everything better than any of us. I mean, like, that's it. Full stop.
So, do they use the same type of dough, or are they fermenting the dough a little more?
Well,
or?
I can't speak to what they're doing here and what they're, but, you know, the Japanese, Japan, like, the general. Tokyo pizza makers are doing all sorts of different, mm-hmm. you know, techniques, but they're figuring out, yeah, like cold fermentation in different ways and, you know, different toppings. I know it's hard to think of, like, what is pizza? What is that? How can that be that much different? Right. And that's a weird thing. But trust me, did it with beer. They did it with whiskey. They've done it with everything, basically.
So let's talk about Danny Del Prado real quick. Like, this is his fifth restaurant now.
Yeah. And well, he's got
like taken over. Yeah.
He's got Josefina coming, too.
Yeah. Well, that'll be five, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So Martina, Colita, Rosalia, Josefina. There's a theme here.
He does have a theme. He does.
And say it again.
Sanju-san.
So, like, he's just kind of taking over the Twin Cities right now.
He also has a stake in Cafe Series, which is Sean McKenzie's bakery that took over the Two Pennies coffee spots.
Okay.
So in fact, if you read the Minneapolis St. Paul magazine article that we just put out about him, it's just that he is, and you know, he kind of with Facundo from Boludo,
yep.
you know, that's a part of his sort of entourage of friends.
Mm-hmm.
They all kind of came here together and they were all kind of like, let's hit a mission. Let's do stuff. And he's a creative, kind of a rock star guy. And he basically wants to, he just wants to keep creating. And he's finding more fun now, not just in like creating a dish, but creating the entire experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I'm excited to see. He's opening up Josefina, which is taking over the Belcourt space in Wayzata.
Yeah.
And that's going to be you know, a little bit more Roman Italian, I think. And so that's going to have its own vibe. But to have that sort of playfulness with the whole space is what I'm really interested to see. I'm hoping to get a look at that this week. So I'll let you guys know about that next week.
Very, very
but
exciting.
But Sandra-san, what I think is interesting, it's like we haven't lost Shige in the mix in this. And that's the important part is Danny's doing a deep dive, but it's not without, you know, Shige is a Japanese food master. And he, the way that he cooks is that it's really formal. I mean, and to be clear, Kara no Misa, it has just moved upstairs, has taken over the upstairs where it always was doing kaiseki, but now they're offering like more of an omakase up there, doing a little bit more formal dining, and then the whiskey bar is still going on up there too, the Gori Gori Peku. Lots of names to remember,
right,
guys.
In one small space.
I know, yeah. But so Shige, you know, is definitely someone who thinks on these flavors and can kind of help, you know, kind of bring them all together. So, you know, the idea of like, I kind of am going back to this eggplant katsu because like we think about eggplant parmesan, you know, in Italian cooking and you kind of like either love it or hate it. And then this eggplant katsu, which is just these beautiful planks of fried eggplant. And they were with little Thai basil pieces and they were on this sort of spiced slaw in a weird way. And so you kind of got like a little bit of a, there was no cheese, there was no giant melty cheese thing, but there was that crispness and there was that
lighterness,
brightness. Yeah, yeah, it was much more, I would pick that over a parm anytime. And then, you know, it's like the idea of, like I was saying to you, they're both noodle centric, Japanese and Italian. They both, you know, have noodles in their thing. They both utilize a lot of fresh seafood, you know, especially some of the coastal Italian stuff. And, you know, they have the umami factor. If you think of Parmesan, you know, in Italian cooking, that is a lot of MSG naturally occurring in it. And that's the umami factor that is at play. That's not a lot of difference from what they utilize in Japanese cooking.
See, look at you bringing it all together.
I know.
Tying it up in a little bow.
You guys, I was very excited by it. And it was not, and at the same time, it's a challenge, I think, to some people. But I also think it's going to come off as really familiar. Like the pizza that we had with miso pesto and pine nuts. And it was just a beautiful pizza. It wasn't like, wow, this is so funky and weird.
And the miso wouldn't take it to like sushi land. It takes it to a umami land.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, it takes what you're expecting and just gives it like a little bit of a left, you
takes
know.
Takes it to 11? Is that what you're trying to say?
It takes it to 11, if you will. If you will, if you won't, even then.
Are they continuing, like, is Gori Gori Peku doing all the drinks, or is Marco, because Marco Zappia, no longer?
No, Gori Gori Peku's upstairs, okay. So that's just its own, that's a Japanese whiskey bar.
Yep.
So if you're looking for your Yamazaki, you're looking for your Nika, you know, or the Hibiki 30, that's going to be upstairs. This is a whole new vibe downstairs, and it is actually Megan Lutke who designed the menu. And so... she's one to watch. Let me just tell you this much. She is a talent. And the drinks that we had were both balanced and just sort of floral in the right way.
The whiskey highball looked amazing.
The highball was nuts. And guys, I'm just telling you, highball is exactly what you want if you're me in the springtime. Because it is a whiskey drink, but it's also so light because it's with a lot of, you know, sparkly water. And we love that. So... yeah, so it's exciting. We just spent that whole segment talking about that one restaurant. I didn't mean to. I was going to talk about some other things. But don't worry, we have time. We still have more show to go. All right, you guys, we're going to take a quick break when we come back. It is the Ask Stephanie portion of the show. So feel free to give us a call at 651-641-1071 or send us a little note. And we'll take your questions. We'll take your comments. We might talk about some things about getting ready to grill, too. So we'll be right back. This is Weekly Dish on My Talk 107.1. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Weekly Dish. It's the Ask Stephanie portion of the show. You want to give us a call? 651-641-1071 is the number to call. Or send us a note. We'll see if we can get to it. We have Annie on the line right away. What's going on today, Annie?
Oh, hi. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hi, I'm super duper.
Great. What can we do for you?
Real quick question. So I'm new to stainless steel, and... what's your best oil to fry an egg with?
Oh.
I usually am a butter person with my egg.
Oh, what again, Annie?
Sorry, we're using canola oil?
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to give you the high heat that you want, but I personally feel like avocado oil is a better oil to do that in, and it's very neutral for eggs. And I don't know if there's a reason you're not using butter or even ghee if you're worried about the dairy component and the burning of the butter.
Yes,
But
I guess my concern was like the stainless, because we're newbies, so we're trying to like Google how to fry an egg, blah blah blah. Just kind of because we are so green. But yeah, you know, that's a good point.
Well, and I think ghee would give you the high heat factor that you want. But the key for frying an egg, no matter what your pan situation is heat the pan up first.
Yes,
before you put the fat in.
Okay.
And then put the fat in and then the egg.
Yeah.
Right? And so if the pan is hot enough, it shouldn't stick.
Yeah.
If it's sticking, the pan's not hot enough.
Yeah. A lot of people, like, I think start low or they crack it in and wait to heat it up. And it's like, no, get a sear, get a good sear on it. You know, I guess you don't sear eggs.
Not sear, but that's not right either.
You
want it to dance on the surface, not adhere to the surface. And it needs to be hot enough to do that. And, you know, conversely, scrambled eggs, you want low and slow. So, you know, I understand how people can, well, it's eggs. I'm supposed to do it low and slow, not when you're frying it.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know.
Okay. Good luck, Annie.
Thank you.
I love that. Like, it's still how to fry an egg. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I love that that's still a thing that we do. And when your pan is new or it's so you're like, what should I be doing?
Well, and I just want to make one comment. Like, heating up the pan doesn't mean that you have to put it on high.
Right.
Like, I would still fry an egg over medium because you don't want to char it. You don't want to do that. But just make sure the pan is hot and up to temperature before you add that fat.
Right. Hey, we do have a message. Remember, 651-641-1071 if you want to give us a call. We have a message from Barbara wondering about Zeppelies. Do you guys know which we're looking for? She's looking for the Zeppeli donuts, which are those. It's like a dough ball of varying size. It's like a fritter, you know, the Zeppelies, and they're usually this sort of like Italian donut holes, I guess. She's wondering do you know anything of where you might find those?
I don't. I mean, my first thought is Casetta's, but I don't even know if they would have it.
Okay, it's basically like a beignet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From France, but the Zeppelis are the Italian thing. You know what's the funny thing is, I would say there's a place in Golden Valley called Valley Pastries. Mm. Let me make sure if I'm getting that right. I think it's a donut shop, Valley Pastries, and they have beautifully big donut holes. They call them donut holes, but basically
it's
a Zeppeli.
Yeah.
So I would say
people
Valley
just don't know
Pastries.
What that is, so they call them something different.
Right.
That makes sense.
It's a cute little, it's a strip mall bakery and off of 169 by Nan's Thai Cuisine. I like that place. So I would say that. So I'm going to send her the link to that, Valley Pastries. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I would say Casetta's would be the place that I would check if that's not the vibe.
Yeah. Just because they have that sort of curated Italian.
But I don't know about their donuts.
I don't either.
I don't feel like they have a donut. They have so much pastry.
Yeah.
But they have great. They did just add a new Frank's Levy Tavern.
Grill
there.
Sort of upstairs, right?
Yeah. I guess they kind of turned it into a pub space.
If nothing else, you could call Casetta's and they might know where you can find them.
True. Yeah, that's a good idea too. I would do that. I would definitely call, Italian restaurants and kind of ask their gigs.
Yeah.
Again, 651-641-1071 if you guys are ready to chat. Okay, so let's talk about getting ready to grill, because quite honestly, I am not ready to grill. I feel like I'm there. I did grill some chicken the other week, and I've sort of famously burned the first chicken of the year always.
It's a sacrifice.
It is. It's mostly because I'm having a cocktail out there on the patio, and all of a sudden I'm like,
to the spring gods.
I'm supposed to watch this.
Okay.
That's a thing. But we are going to talk about that in a second, but we do have Christine on the line, and I want to make sure we get to her. Christine, what's going on today?
Hi, girls. It's Christine, the psychic friend.
Yay! It's Christine! We knew you were going to call!
Hi,
no,
babe.
We didn't.
Yes, we did.
I've been thinking about you. You'll be hearing from me.
Pardon?
I said, I've been thinking about you. You'll be hearing from me.
Oh, well, good.
She knew that.
Yeah, I did. I'm going to be making monkfish, and I've never cooked monkfish before. What do you suggest?
Ooh. Well, I mean, a broil on any kind of fish, seafood is an easy way to do it the first time until you get more familiar with working with it.
Can I suggest a cartoccio, which is, and if you look that up, I think you find that it's basically the parchment paper where you cook it in the parchment paper, like you wrap a little,
with
you make a little package, but you throw, it's almost like, you know, you make those grill packs, but papillote in the other way of saying in French, I think it's cartoccio in Italian, but just like lemon and herbs and you kind of let it steam in its own stuff.
Yeah, that's
a good
one.
That's what I'm thinking. And then maybe, should I throw an asparagus in there or not?
I would say not the first, not the first time.
Okay. I would let
that go on the side. I mean, you could do it on the same pan.
You could do packets of asparagus with butter and lemon on its own.
Yeah.
Maybe some dill or something like that.
Yeah, some veggies, maybe some zucchini.
Yeah. That'd be delicious. That sounds real good.
And be careful with, I wouldn't put the zucchini with the fish because zucchini, it gives off so much water.
Yeah.
That you don't want your fish swimming.
Yeah,
not intended.
This is an adventure for me. I haven't done this before. So.
Okay, well, send us pictures. Seriously.
I will. Nice to talk to you guys.
Okay, thanks, Christine. Talk to you later. All right, we have Kathy on the line as well. Kathy, what's going on today?
You know, I cook a lot, and the one recipe I can never feel like as good as you get in a restaurant is carnitas. And I just made some a couple of weeks ago. I did the cumin and just salt and pepper dry rub, and I did some orange juice, and I even did some concentrated orange juice in the just to see if I could get it going, and onions. And it just never tastes like what you get even at Chipotle, so I'm wondering what I'm missing.
I would think the first thing that most home cooks do differently versus restaurant cooks is you're not using enough spice and salt, right?
Like, yeah. I mean,
it's just amped up and, you know, another level in the restaurant. So I would try maybe even
going more harder
spice and more salt, and use kosher salt. Don't use table salt, which you probably already know since you cook a lot. But that would be my first guess. And like, how long are you cooking it for? Are you doing it in a crock pot or are you doing it as a braise?
I'm usually not a crock pot person, but I did use a all clad, it's like a big crock pot. I left it in there and it was, you know, it turned out really moist and everything like that. But, I just never think it has that flavor that you get.
Yeah, you need the braise on that.
So I will tell you that as much as we love our crock pots for ease, they are not meant to be like flavor. Like that, they don't care. The crock pots don't care about our flavor needs. They only care about making life easy for us, and I think that's wonderful about them.
It's very rude.
But if you really think about like an oven braise, like that has a different kind of a heat pattern. It's not going to be as. It really is so different compared to that wet, steamy heat of a crock pot.
Well, and I think when you braise, you do have to, you know, sear. And I would do a hard sear on your pork or whatever meat you're going to be doing. And the oven braise allows that sear flavor to stay and develop.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're putting it in a crock pot, it just sort of
gets wet.
It gets wet and that flavor sort of leaches out.
So you don't think there's anything I'm missing as far as any type of spice that I'm not putting in there?
It didn't sound like it.
No, and I mean, if you've been looking at, you know, different carnitas recipes online, you know, it's kind of just like, I think you have to hit on the one that you're really feeling. It sounds like you have a good enough acid. I would maybe throw in some lime too, you know, for me, like to brighten up. Orange juice can get a little sweet, you know, the orange. It's still acidic, but I might want to cut it a little bit more with a little bit harder of an acid.
Well, and I think, you know, when I do carnitas, I do fresh oranges and I just like squeeze it and leave the whole half orange with the peel and everything in there. And that does develop some more flavors.
Yeah, the peel is really good too.
And I don't know what your recipes that you're looking at call for, but in addition to cumin and coriander, like I always put some oregano in there.
Yeah, me too. Big on oregano.
I would bump up all of your spices.
Yeah, just bump them up. Go crazy.
Okay. All right, I will do that.
I love it. Thanks, Kathy. Report back. Always report back. We always want to know if everything we say is going to the wind or not. We never know. All right, you guys, we have completed the first hour of the Weekly Dish. Well done, everyone. We'll be right back.